կընտրեք SBS հայերենը։
Azerbaijan has attacked Artsakh again, this time aided by Turkey, causing immense carnage and destruction. The frustration of the Armenian community here is exacerbated by the silence of our political leaders and especially by the coverage of the media. To give us his perspective, we have a special guest, news veteran George Donikian. George, welcome to SBS Armenian.
Hi.
George, as a person who spent most of his life in the media, starting with SBS in 1980s and later the commercial networks, what's your view about the media coverage of the latest Azerbaijani attack and the plight of Armenians?
Well, the challenge always is every newsroom battles to try and get coverage from different sources, particularly when they don't have the resources or they don't have access to that region or that story. So you're at the liberty of whatever comes through. So I would suggest in this case, the only people that are doing stories from that region would probably be Turkish-based news platforms, Azeri news platforms, Pakistani news platforms, because I've seen a few, and what comes out of Armenia. And of course, I don't know what the commitments are or what the dealings are and contractually with the different newsrooms these days. But if it was happening in 1980, 1990, what we would do is grab the story from three or four different areas, and we would then fashion it to fit the Australian marketplace through the Australian lens. That would not be happening today for the simple reason that they don't have the time. It's out of their purview. They don't really know too much about that region. And at the whim of whatever's happening in the newsroom that day, they're not really going out to find out why Azerbaijan has attacked Artsakh or Nagorno-Karabakh. They have no real understanding of the centuries-old story that is the one that we're struggling with at the moment. The Azerbaijanis have been very shrewd with their storytelling, and it's important that Armenia tells its story. But of course, there are complications because much of the storytelling today is impacted by the influence of Turkey.
George, you made an appeal that I shared on my Facebook page yesterday. What prompted you to make that video appeal?
One of the things that we've done over the last 20 weeks is launch an online news platform called The Informer. We realised at the beginning of this lockdown across Australia that a bunch of news platforms would be struggling to meet their needs and their demands. And we also saw the demise of many newspapers with the market changing tremendously. So we thought there'd be a terrific opportunity to launch a new news platform in the digital space. And that's what we've gone out to do, to try and create a voice for all those people who don't have a voice, and also a platform that tells you a bit more about the stories that are happening around the world. But the mainstream news platforms simply don't have the time or the inclination to pursue them. So we're basically taking it back to the early days of SBS when we wanted to do something because we cared enough, and then we made sure we put the work in to get it done. My point was, I promised my father many years ago that I would make my time in the news as supportive of the platforms and the communities that I live in. And I live in both the Australian community, which is shared by the Greek community and the Armenian community. And I have an enormous responsibility as a Donikian to tell the best possible story for the community, to let them know what's happening and why it's happening. For the Greek community, I do a similar thing, or I try to and have done from day one. And for the Australian community, it's about educating them to the fact that there's a whole new world out there. And if we care enough, here's the things that you've got to understand is happening and why they're happening. And this story that's coming out of that part of the world is not a black and white story. It's not very. It's not one that's easily said, and it's an enormous challenge. But the questions I have are why, at this time, when the whole world is fighting COVID, and there are so many other things that we need to be attending to, why in heaven's name is Azerbaijan suddenly with the support of Turkey, why is Turkey there? And suddenly, why has Pakistan jumped on board? So you have three regional powers, nearly 260 million people, and suddenly they're up against 3.5 million Armenians. Are they kidding? This is three bullies taking an opportunity to do something they shouldn't be doing. So the world needs to know this, and this is why we're doing it. One of the key things about keeping any news platform alive, if you like what you see and if you believe in it, then back us and then make sure you you follow us. And if you do that, then we can have the energy and the platform that will then be able to resonate and showcase the stories that need to be told in our Informer newsroom.
George, another issue we are discussing today is the state of affairs in Victoria. We've been in lockdown for 3 months now. In New South Wales, Berejiklian government handled the pandemic differently. In your opinion, I know you have a strong opinion. So in your opinion, what was the best way to handle the situation?
Not to make a mistake at the beginning when they had the hotel quarantine program up and running. Had it been done properly from the very beginning? Look, New South Wales fell over and made a mistake with its Ruby Princess saga, but they quickly got on top of that because they had state-of-the-art contact tracing. That's one thing Victoria, to our eternal discredit, have not been able to get on top of. Now, I don't know what the challenges have been. I don't know whether the department is so far behind the health department in New South Wales and other states, but it seems to me quite incredible that we have the rest of Australia functioning almost, and I say this guardedly, almost normal, and we have Victoria, because of the huge mistake that they made over the hotel quarantine issue, stuck in another time in another place. I cannot believe that businesses have been allowed to rot on the vine. I mean, people don't understand that if a business fails, it's normally because, you know, no customers are interested in going along and supporting it. But this has not been the case. This has been a government-imposed lockdown, which has stopped everybody from doing or going about their business. So, and yet the government doesn't seem to have an ear or a care in the world about anything else other than supposedly protecting all of us after being unable to protect all of us by not doing the job properly from the very beginning with the hotel fiasco. Now, we're going to find out from the inquiry, formally and officially, but if you can think for yourself, you should be able to see that what the Victorian government has done is tried very much to repair the mistakes it's made, because had it not made those mistakes, Victoria would have been up and about and business would be back, not in the way it was before the COVID pandemic struck the globe, but it would be open and would be functioning. And I tell people who aren't in Victoria, you have no idea just how the impositions have hurt not only the spirit, but the ability of Victorians to get out and about. It's taken an enormous toll, and the only people responsible are those who hold the levers of power, and that is the government and, of course, the Premier. They're all responsible. If the Premier can't get up and say, the buck stops with me, and then express a number of views about how he wants to blame everyone else. I think the time has come when you understand and tell the people of Victoria and the rest of the country, you dropped the ball, you made a mistake. There are mitigating reasons why you did, but you're never going to make those mistakes again. He hasn't done either, and he resists the opportunity to go back and say, truly sorry. And I'm just wondering when the day comes, whether he will be able to finally face his critics and say to them, well, you were right, but I had a more important job to do, and that's why I played this game of, stalling and holding things up until I was ready to speak to them.
George, have you decided to enter politics as the media suggested?
No. Politics is an extraordinarily complicated game, made even more complicated by the characters that reside in politics. It's a bruising affair. It's filled with people who have some of the, look, there are some good people who have extraordinary good intentions, and there are some very capable people in there, but there are a whole host of others who I don't really want to have to contend with. And I think the challenge with politics, or any politician, is how much are you prepared to give away of yourself so you can get to where you want to be? And the idea should be that you don't give too much of yourself away, and that by the time you arrive at the office that you want to be in, that you're actually the person who entered politics and who is as brave and as bold and as committed as the day they entered. Not one that's more cynical or has struggled to remain the same person that they were when they first put their hand up to enter politics. If you have to give that much of yourself away, I don't want to be in it. And I think we can do much more on the outside, keeping them, as they say, honest, or as honest as we can with the opportunities that we have and with the platform that we have. But like anything else, you're only as good as the support you get. And that's why I said earlier, if you believe in what we're doing and what we're saying and what we're thinking, then back us and support us. And the best way to do it online is to follow us.
George, thank you for sharing with us your views about these important topics.
Bahir, I wish you and yours and your family all the very best. I know that a great many businesses have been extraordinarily challenged. Some of them will not survive. Some, of course, we will not see the light of day when the Premier of Victoria decides that day is going to be. But I just wish everyone, again, good health. Christmas is coming. You wouldn't know it the way this year has panned out. But let's hope for the many families, the Armenian families across Australia, that the powers that be and can make a difference move and do something overseas. Armenia has been the better part of the last 27 years standing up, trying to be an independent republic. Russia is on the periphery. An old master still wants to be involved in the history of Armenia. Now, I think they're trying to broker some ceasefire discussions. It's going to be an extraordinary challenge when you have people and entities like Erdogan from Turkey, Aliyev from Azerbaijan, and Imran Khan, who I must say I expected much more from, especially when I remember what a man and what a sporting great he was for Pakistan in the days when he was playing cricket for them. And he came to Australia a number of years ago and led New South Wales to the Sheffield Shield. So he was a man of great integrity and a man of great vigour. Somehow, though, the political system in Pakistan has worn him down and made him a very different person. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was talking about earlier. If you have to lose what makes you special by the time you reach or ascend to the chair that you're finally ending up in, then I'm sure it's a thing that I don't want to be involved with.
Wise words, George. Our special guest was news veteran George Donikian. Հավնե, լայք, բաժանեք, գործիկը թայտնել, հետևե SPS հայրենին թիմադեդրի վրա։